welcome to this edition of the Fireside Bookshelf. Join our host Ginger Green as she opens doors to the literary world, both past and present, featuring some of the best Christian books pertinent to believers and their pursuit of biblical truth. Each week, she will discuss selected resources which have touched her heart and life, with a hope they will enhance your study of the Scriptures and encourage you in your spiritual walk. From foundational Christian truths to marriage and parenting to understanding the times we live in, Ginger has assembled some amazing Christian authors, and each week we'll explore their works, all designed to help us grow in grace and knowledge in Jesus Christ. And now for today's presentation.
The average number of Facebook friends in 2019 was 155, according to OmniCoreAgency.com. Yet a CBS report in 2018 found that many Americans are lonely, and Gen Z possibly most of all. If you ever feel disconnected from others, take some solace in the fact that you are not alone. Many Americans are lonely, and younger adults appear to be the hardest hit. The study, published by the global health service company Cigna, found that 46% of U.S. adults report sometimes or always feeling lonely, and 47% report feeling left out. Cigna calls those epidemic levels. What's more, only half of Americans say they have meaningful, in-person social interactions on a daily basis, such as having an extended conversation with a friend or spending time with family members. At Cigna, we've been hearing more and more from our customers and individuals telling us that they are feeling lonely, alone, and disconnected from others. Previous research has shown that loneliness is connected to a number of health issues, including diabetes, heart disease, and depression. It may play a role in substance abuse and can diminish the overall quality of life. Some studies have even found that loneliness and social isolation may even lead to an early death. Surprisingly, the study found loneliness affects younger Americans more than the elderly. Generation Z, or those between the ages of 18 and 22, were the loneliest generation, with a loneliness score of 48.3. Possible loneliness scores range from 20 to 80, with the national average at 44. Millennials, ages 23 to 37, were close behind with a score of 45.3, followed by Generation X, ages 38 to 51, with a loneliness score of 45.1. The so-called greatest generation, those age 72 or over, ranked as the least lonely with a score of 38.6. When it came to the role of social media, researchers found its use was not a predictor of loneliness. We hear all the time about social media and loneliness being connected. What our study found, however, is that the level of attachment with social media really did not impact loneliness one way or the other. You could have 1,000 or 10,000 friends on Facebook, but it's the meaningful in-person relationships that you have with other people that actually keep you from becoming lonely. That's both good and bad news, because too many people are trying to find meaning and relationships without the in-person part. People often spend more time on their screens than enjoying their friends at an event or even the experience of the event itself. Couples and families are together in the same place, but no one's engaging with each other outside their small screens. I've even seen people texting each other while in the same house and even the same room. Yet this is just one modern-day factor contributing to loneliness. There are plenty of factors that have been consistent across time. Have you ever felt lonely? Abandoned? No one escapes the feelings of loneliness caused by separation, grief, loss, or isolation. It can strike anyone, young or old, outgoing or introverted, confident or uncertain. God has placed within each of us a basic need for a relationship with Him and with others. Therefore, our longing to belong is natural. You may feel like the entire world has abandoned you, as if no one understands your pain and sorrow. But the Bible promises that the Lord is always with you. Do you know how being alone and being lonely differ? What leads to feelings of loneliness? How to identify situational causes for loneliness? Do you know what the mental and physical symptoms of loneliness are, and how to overcome feelings of loneliness? If not, come be a part as author and biblical counselor June Hunt helps us find answers to these questions in her book, Loneliness: How to Be Alone But Not Lonely. Have you ever wondered when was the first time God said, "It is not good"? Is it when Adam and Eve ate of the forbidden fruit? Is it when they hid from God? Is it when they refused to take responsibility for their disobedience? Actually, it was prior to all those events when God stated in no uncertain terms, "It is not good for man to be alone." Genesis 2:18. God himself spoke these words after creating the first human being, the crowning glory of his creation, made in God's image. Adam is surrounded by indescribable beauty in the Garden of Eden, with the unlimited fruit, lush foliage, and a wide array of wildlife. Yet there is something missing, or rather someone. God caused a deep sleep to come over Adam and removed one of his ribs to form a woman. Then God presents her to Adam, and he is no longer alone. If you are cut off from relationship, Hunt notes, living in isolation, coping alone day after day, God considers that not good. While the Lord doesn't lead everyone to marry, he does call everyone to be involved with people, not just charming pets, not just prized possessions, but people. You are called to show interest in people, to express care to people, to sacrificially love people. Remember, Adam was surrounded by animals and objects of beauty in the garden, yet God considered him alone. Interestingly, Hunt tells us the word alone appears 123 times in the scripture, but rarely is it synonymous with the word lonely. In fact, in English, the noun loneliness did not acquire its present meaning until this century, and did not appear in any major dictionary until after World War II. In other words, loneliness has only recently been thought of as a mental condition. It doesn't take long in the classroom of life to learn that you can experience loneliness even when surrounded by a crowd. But solitude is much different. Properly handled, loneliness can be a doorway leading to a deeper relationship with God. Jesus experienced solitude but enjoyed unity with the Father. "You will leave me all alone, yet I am not alone, for my Father is with me." John 16:32. Have you ever felt lonely amid a crowd, feeling separate from people while in the midst of people? It's as if a great invisible wall is keeping you isolated, allowing you to observe but not belong. Have you ever felt so alone and burdened by sorrows that it was painful to watch others smile, chat, laugh, and go on with their lives in apparent contentment? In this condition, it can feel like no one else walks in your shoes, understands your pain, or senses your struggles. This sense of disconnection, Hunt explains, can be experienced at any time when you don't have friends and loved ones nearby, or even sometimes when you do. "Scorn has broken my heart and left me helpless. I looked for sympathy, but there was none. For comforters, I found none." Psalm 69:20. So first, what is loneliness? Loneliness is a state of sadness resulting from feeling isolated or cut off from others. Lonely in the Old Testament is translated from the Hebrew word yahid, which can mean solitary, forsaken, wretched. The psalmist David cried out to the Lord during his time of loneliness, "Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted." Psalms 25:16. Loneliness also means feeling separated from others. Lonely in the New Testament is sometimes translated from the Greek word manoo, which means to be left alone. This type of loneliness often occurs when we are separated from family and friends or when a loved one passes away. We are often overcome by doubt and overwhelmed by too many questions without answers. One of the great features of this little book is that it is filled with questions and answers as you read through the specific chapters and sections. For example, how can I feel lonely when I have Christ in my heart? Answer: it is not sinful to experience the pain of loneliness. In fact, it's perfectly normal, Hunt explains. We were made to have significant relationships with God and with others. When there is a great loss or a great change in our lives, we experience great pain and stress. Even Jesus cried when his friend Lazarus died. Tears are not wrong. They are God-given for healing. Everyone experiences loneliness at one time or another, but you may be someone who struggles with loneliness day in and day out, with little or no hope of relief. You may feel like you are isolated on one side of the river and underneath ominous black clouds that pour a steady rate of loneliness on your soul. You see people on the other side of the river, walking and talking with each other in the warmth of the sunshine, and yearn to join them, but have no clue on how to bridge the river and cross to the other side. Some people feel lonely because they are withdrawn, uncommunicative, and lack relationships. However, others feel lonely because they're in a physical relationship that leaves them inwardly isolated and very much alone. Proverbs tells us, "Each heart knows its own bitterness, and no one else can share its joy." Proverbs 14:10. This state is defined as chronic loneliness, which means continually feeling isolated and disconnected from others. This can develop from constantly feeling misunderstood or cut off from everyone. It can be rooted in feeling socially inept, full of shame, or low self-worth. It often leads to personal isolation, bitterness, and destructive behavior. It can result in a person coming to a place of having no hope of connecting again in the future, to angry, violent alienation, and even suicide. Some of you may be asking, "My life is active and full, so why do I get lonely?" Hunt notes activity alone is not a cure for loneliness. Over-involvement in activities, to the point where you have no solitude, can be an attempt to numb the longing in your heart for God. Which brings us to the question, are you comfortable spending time alone, solitary, and separate from others? Or do you prefer to spend your waking hours surrounded by people, noise, and activity because you associate quiet, private time with loneliness and emptiness? Hunt reveals spending time alone, seeking the peace and quiet of solitude, can bring serenity to your spirit. Solitary time spent in prayer or Bible study can also broaden your perspective and deepen your faith. Psalms 46:10 encourages us to be still and know that I am God. Seeking times of solitude, you put aside your worldly concerns and simply listen for God's voice. Doing so helps you to discern His intended path so that you can choose it as your own. Let the morning bring me word of your unfailing love, for I have put my trust in you. Show me the way I should go, for to you I looked at my soul. Psalms 143:8. Being alone means being solitary or separated from others. Alone in the New Testament is sometimes translated from the Greek word monos, which means alone or by oneself. Jesus often sought solitude. He separated himself from others in order to commune alone with the Father. But being alone can be positive or negative. Solitude is spent physically apart from others, which can be good for you. Warren Wiersbe observed that Jesus used to go out by himself to meditate and pray. The Apostle Paul left his friends so he could walk and meditate while they traveled by ship. He wanted solitude. He wanted to be alone. Solitude is the quality or state of being alone or remote from society. Most people believe that being alone is the same thing as being lonely. However, they are usually basing their thinking on their own painful experience. Hunt indicates that healthy solitude is a state of being alone, but not necessarily lonely. A chosen separation from the press of people. A needed refuge from the noise and negativity of life. A place of privacy to sort out ideas, values, and attitudes. A healthy haven from unhealthy emotions. A positive time alone without being preoccupied with missing others. A shelter from the storm to handle significant loss. A personal retreat to prime the pump of creativity. And a private sanctuary to rest, pray, and meditate. We need only observe the life of Jesus in Luke 4:42 and 6:12 to see a picture of healthy solitude. At daybreak, Jesus went out to a solitary place. On those days, Jesus went out to the mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. So how does being alone differ from being lonely? Paul Tillich wrote, "Our language has wisely sensed the two sides of being alone. It has created the word loneliness to express the pain of being alone. It has created the word solitude to express the glory of being alone." Part of the difference between being alone and being lonely involves the sense of being in control. Solitude is being alone by choice. It is deliberately seeking quiet, private time alone to reflect, to be in prayer, or to simply be still and listen for God's voice. Loneliness, on the other hand, is the emotion that arises when you feel like you have little control over being alone. You feel isolated and abandoned and wish your circumstances were different. Often this is a consequence of a change in your life, a move, a death, a relationship, or any situation where you find yourself wishing for attachments you may once have enjoyed. Hunt outlines several other distinctions between being alone and being lonely. Being alone refers to the physical, the state of being separated from others. Being lonely refers to the emotional, the state of feeling isolated, rejected, or desolate. Being alone can be a positive experience, a time of creativity and communion with the Lord. Being lonely is always a negative feeling, often accompanied by feelings of hopelessness. Those feelings of hopelessness can lead one to believe that loneliness will last forever. But typically, loneliness is temporary and diminishes as a person becomes more accepting and comfortable with the loss or change in their life. Feelings of loneliness are also combated by changing the way we think about being alone. Many of the Bible's great heroes suffered from acute loneliness. David was chosen by God. He was God's anointed. But he felt desperately alone and lonely. His loneliness wreaked havoc with his body, weakening his bones and sapping his strength. God's choice king likens himself to a broken vessel, his life in shards with the jagged pieces piercing his emotions and weakening his very soul. In describing the devastation of his loneliness, David said he is a contempt to his neighbors and he is a dread to his friends. Psalms 31:11. In a fleeting moment of fear, David even feels like the Lord has abandoned him. But then his faith swelled and his hope returned. He boldly proclaimed, "Be strong and take heart, all of you who hope in the Lord." Psalms 31:24. Hunt talks about the actual language of loneliness. As a lonely person, you can get to a place where you automatically build walls instead of bridges. You step back when others step toward you. By continually using and dwelling in the language of loneliness, you can create your own world of isolation, receiving the exact opposite response to the one you want. But when you continually think that you have abandoned and been deserted by your friends and that no one cares, this mindset causes you to focus selfishly on self-protection. You live in a state of wall building instead of bridge building, keeping you stuck in a state of loneliness. Now, for some, there can be a time when your friends may abandon you. It is a reality and not just a feeling. But if this is the case, what this situation reveals is that they were never truly your friends. This can be a very painful lesson to learn. I myself went through a very low point in my life when I discovered that someone whom I trusted did not share the same definition of friendship as I did. Proverbs has much to say on this subject. 12:26 says, "The righteous should choose his friends carefully, for the way of the wicked leads them astray." And 17:17 declares, "A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity." Yet no matter the source of loneliness, whether real or perceived, it does produce both psychological and physical symptoms. Both areas are covered in the book. Hunt also includes a loneliness checklist to help you determine your current mindset and whether you have fallen prey to the language of loneliness. There are both situational causes of loneliness as well as spiritual causes of loneliness, and certainly the life of Job reflects both. Scripture tells us that Job went from being one revered to one reviled. Satan had been at work, allowed by God to pummel Job with painful trials and affliction, including oozing sores from head to toe. All of this occurred not because Job was a bad man, but because he was blameless before God, and his faith was in the spotlight in a supernatural showdown between God and Satan. Would Job curse God once his hedge of protection was removed? That was the piercing proposition the enemy put before God. And it is the question asked about you when loneliness invades your life, knocking you to your knees. Does the word loneliness bring up unhappy memories from the past? Were you the one teased about their looks in childhood, or the shy, quiet one everyone overlooked? Everyone struggles with feelings of loneliness, for no one escapes separation, loss, grief, isolation, and the human need for relationships. You were created to live in partnership with others and with God. Job seemingly had lost it all, his property, livestock, children, health, and friends, except for a trio who further traumatized poor Job with misguided and even malicious counsel. Job languished in loneliness, longing for the relationships that once so blessedly enriched his life. But the one constant in life is change. We all know this to be true. And yet when change happens to us, especially without warning, we often have difficulty adapting. When your world changes and you are no longer able to predict what will happen next, you can lose confidence and feel uncertain, which often leads to fear. This is the perfect emotional climate for loneliness to take root. It may help you to remember that God allows these feelings to enter our lives so that we may turn our hearts toward Him for comfort and assurance and towards others who are also lonely. When you turn to God in times of loneliness, taking comfort from His steadfast presence and abiding love, your life can be doubly blessed. You can experience God's peace for yourself, which empowers you to reach out to other hurting hearts. In this way, you become a living expression of God's concern for all experiencing trouble of any sort. God did not design us to be alone, and although there will be periods when we are alone, this is not to be a permanent state. Today we've briefly defined loneliness and explored some of the characteristics and causes of loneliness. In the final sections of loneliness, Hunt delves into the root cause of loneliness and why people seem to be experiencing more and more loneliness, as well as step-by-step actions to help you evaluate your loneliness, take control of your feelings, and ultimately how to overcome when loneliness strikes. When bad things happen to you, and when it seems as if your whole world has changed overnight, you feel overwhelmed and disconnected. Nothing makes sense, and in your frustration and pain, you may blame God or feel unworthy of His love. You may ask yourself, if God loves me, why would He allow me to suffer? Times like these test your faith greatly, as you are called to keep on believing in a loving, wise God who understands your suffering and carries you through dark times. The truth is, it is not for you to figure out why you or anyone must endure suffering. That knowledge is God's alone. But in the meantime, take hope from His own promise in Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Loneliness, How to Be Alone But Not Lonely, by June Hunt, can be found online and is currently available in paperback and digital format. And one final note from the Fireside Bookshelf. None of the books featured on this program are ever intended to replace the Bible and the need for immersing ourselves in God's Word on a daily basis. And just because a book is recommended does not mean that all writings and teaching by an author are recommended. And while no book besides the Bible can be all things to all people, our hope here at the Fireside Bookshelf is to present a variety of Christian resources that seek to remain faithful to biblical truth and which provide insights to help strengthen and deepen your spiritual walk.
If today's featured book has sparked your interest or addressed an area of concern for you or a friend, we hope you will consider adding a copy to your library of Christian resources. Nowadays, when busyness seems to be our business, we need to return to the lost art of reading so that we will continue learning more of God's Word and His Son, Jesus Christ, the only one who has the power to transform hearts and minds. The Fireside Bookshelf is a ministry of sharing hearts and can be heard on this station every Sunday at 4 p.m. Past episodes can be found anytime at www.sharonhearts.org. Thank you for joining us, and tune in next week for our next exciting feature here at the Fireside Bookshelf.